Today on Real Radio.
We have people walking around who say they're Christians. I was sharing at the beach, and this guy goes, "Hey man, get off my back, I'm a Christian." Well then, what are y'all drugged up for? "Oh, hey man, woo, don't judge me." Well, look, the Bible judges you, I don't judge you. But don't tell anybody you're a Christian on drugs, pal. Welcome. Because it really rips Jesus off.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his new series through the book of Acts. Scholars agree that this New Testament narrative is essentially the historical account of the first, acts of the first believers in Yeshua, the Messiah. And in fact, chapter 1 is generally accepted as the record of the birth of the church. The title of this first study in this series is most appropriately titled, The Acts of the Apostles. It's a look at the first 5 verses of chapter 1. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We need to come under his direct possession. Verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He will empower us." You know, we were in Russia, and there was a tree, and there was a drunk, and he was talking to the tree. And then he was laying down talking to the tree. And then it started to rain and snow, and he was still laying down underneath that tree. And have you noticed when a person comes under the influence of alcohol? You know, everything's fine first. I was in a courtroom in a jury, and they called up a criminologist. And the attorney says, "What's the first thing when a person begins to ingest alcohol? What's the first thing that happens?" And this criminologist says, "Well, the first thing that happens is all their inhibitions go out the door. They become very liberal with their body, which would otherwise be sacred." I thought I was in a church service for a minute when I heard that. I went, "Wow, I have to remember that." Get a little hot, blood vessels begin to crank, the alcohol's flowing. Oh man, what's going on? You begin to get loose with your attitude, or if you're alone like this poor man, this guy's talking to a tree. But that's a stage of intoxication, have you noticed? When they're happy, like this guy was at the beginning, "Oh, buddy, oh, pal, oh, boy," that's the time to ask him for a raise or for a loan. Because the next thing that happens is they become remorseful. "I'm so sorry," right? "I'm such a bozo." Then the next thing they do is they become out like a light. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, Paul the Apostle says, "Don't be drunk with wine, wherein it just simply leaks out. But, in contrast, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the word, the Greek word is in the present, continuum, be constantly filled up over and over again, constantly, as long as you're alive, you keep asking to be filled. And he says, speaking to yourselves, not to a tree. In songs, in hymns, in spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart. Why does he contrast the intoxication of alcohol, or can I say spirits, versus the intoxication of the Spirit? Both influence you. Both govern you. You directly come under their possession and their influence. One is to destruction, one is to life. One is an imitation. One is the real thing. You want to have peace? You want to have power in your life? You want to have joy? Joy. When you're standing next to a graveside of a loved one, you can have joy in your life by the present power of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that? When all of the cards go against you, you can stand there with joy. I'm not talking happiness now. I'm talking something better. I'm talking joy. That only comes through the Holy Spirit. And just because you're a Christian doesn't necessarily mean you're filled with the Spirit. When's the last time you asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18? That's the last time you were filled. It's written to the believer in Ephesians 5. We need to be filled again and again. And then we look at the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives in verses 6 through 8. And there's a great question here. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but I'll tell you this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Oh God, are you going to restore the kingdom? The answer is yes, I'm going to restore the kingdom, and it will be restored to Israel during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is at least 7 years away. Oh, Israel is going to have the kingdom restored to them. That's great. The answer is yes, and the answer is no, not right now. God's got a work to do. But I want the kingdom. So do I. But I want to have an effective ministry. So do I. But I want to... So do we. But nothing, even the kingdom itself, can precede the fact that you and I must be filled. We must be filled. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word in the Greek, upon, is epi, E-P-I. It means to come on you, to cover you, or to overflow you. When we were a non-Christian, the Holy Spirit was alongside of us, convicting us of sin, saying, don't, no, no, no. You need Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in your life. And you heard it all your days. And then you came and you said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. The Holy Spirit said, thank you very much. And he opened the door of your heart and walked in and shut the door, never to leave you or forsake you. You were saved. But the book of Acts shows us that we must not only have him alongside us, but in us, but upon us for service. And that word that appears right here is the fact of the matter, and that's E-P-I, upon. The Holy Spirit will come upon you for dynamic power as a Christian. And that's great news. You shall receive power. This word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. You've heard it before. D-U-N-I-M-I-S. And the word simply means a dynamic work or a miraculous power or supernatural ability or abundant strength or mighty works. It's where we get the English word dynamite. Isn't that neat? I'm a Christian. It's a drag, man. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but your life ought to be like dynamite. And if it's not, then we need to get realigned. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 8, there's a guy that is so full of the Holy Spirit by the name of Stephen. This guy was a waiter in the church, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, he had a chance to preach the gospel, and he gave one of the most awesome sermons in the book of Acts that you'll ever hear. But the scripture says there in 6, 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. That word full in the Greek is the word plethora, or where we get plethora. An abundant overflowing of power. Jesus said, listen, catch this. In John's gospel, Jesus said, if anyone who thirsts, let him come after me, remember? And I will give him living water, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That word in the Greek means torrents, floods of water coming out of you. When Jesus said, you wait, because you're going to receive power of the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, the word means to cover over completely. The word means to be absolutely flooded by the Holy Spirit. And out of his innermost being, it says of you and I, shall flow rivers of living water. Last service, we have a man who's 93 years old. comes faithfully to this church, and he has since the day it started. And I mentioned this point right here, and he went, yippee! You can't be in his presence without getting wet. You better have your little booties on, because he's full of the Spirit of God. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said so, and it's by the power of the Spirit being upon us. Don't you want it? I hope this is making you really thirsty. His power. And you will be witnesses, he says. Witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then why aren't we doing it? What's the problem? We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. The problem is not many are asking for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Jesus says, if you ask, if you being an evil parent, and he means that in an earthly sense. He says, if your child comes up to you and says, can I have a piece of bread? Are you going to give him a rock? Daddy, can I have an egg? And you give him a scorpion? Jesus said, you won't do that. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask? And by the way, he's talking to believers. So ask, and you'll receive this power. I think don't get mad at me for saying this, but I think it's true. Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses. Starting in Jerusalem. You know where it starts first? In your heart. The word witness is the Greek word martis. It's where we get the word martyr. It means to give evidence upon a fact. To give testimony of what you've seen. We have people walking around who say they're Christians. I was sharing at the beach, and this guy goes, hey man, get off my back, I'm a Christian. Well then, what are you all drugged up for? Oh, hey man, woo, don't judge me. Well, look, the Bible judges you. I don't judge you. But don't tell anybody you're a Christian on drugs, pal. Well, come. Because it really rips Jesus off. And there are people running around saying, oh, I'm a Christian. And they're living like hell. They're doing all the things of the rotten fruit that's listed in Galatians 5. They're gossiping, they're tattletaling on this thing, they're in adultery, they're in fornication, they're in drugs, they're all, and it's the fruit of the flesh. And if you're there this morning, nobody shoots you. If you're feeling conviction, that's the Holy Spirit. You just simply say, Lord, man, I'm busted, I need help. Yes, you do, and yes, I do. And you say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit quick. I need you. And get the power from God to get out of that mess. And he'll give it to you. But the greatest, I think, the most damning effect in the church today is not the attack of the government. It's not the attack of the liberal theologian. It's not the attack of Satan himself. That's not our problem. The problem with the church and the earth today is lukewarmness in the body. Powerless, faithless, lifeless Christian life. Jesus said in Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm, not cold or not hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that kind of cracks me up. Doesn't that sound gentle? Spew. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, the New King James Version Bible translates it vomit, which still doesn't do the Greek justice. And the NGV version, I just made it up last night. That's the New Graphic Version. The word more correctly ought to be barf or puke. Oh, that's gross. What do you think Jesus feels like? That's right, gross. Ugh. You ever set your coffee cup down? Go back to your work or your drawing, and then your kids decide to maybe put grass, mud, and water in your cup. And you're looking at your drawings, and you pick it up, and you... Pugh! That's what Jesus is going to do. He's not going to spew you out. He's going to go, pugh! Man, what was that? It said Christian all over it. I thought it was going to be hot. No, it's just me. What's the big deal? Who is a godly witness? Godly witness is someone who's effectively witnessing, born of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about going door to door. I'm talking about when it's called upon you in that moment to stand for Christ, you'll be able to do it with power. Could be on the workplace. I believe most of it is on the workplace. But godly witnesses, listen, it is a man or a woman who is filled with the logos of God, that is the word of God, the Bible in your lap, which in turn governs his ethos, that is his lifestyle. Is the Bible big enough in your life to govern your lifestyle? Or is it a Sunday thing? Which is revealed in his pathos, that's his passions. You want to know where a man is who professes to be a Christian or a woman? Look at their passions. Man, doesn't that cut our hearts? What are you living for? And what you living for, is it worth dying for? We're all going to be a martyr in the end. For what? For the gospel that's eternal? For something that's rusting and perishing and fading away. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. And then finally, we see in verses 9 through 11, the governing of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Before we do that, I'd rather spend a little bit more time at the end of verse 8. Look what he says. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Look at the geography of this. Jerusalem, then all Judea. That's a little bigger. And then Samaria, that's even bigger still. And then to the ends of the earth. Not only is this a command for any church of any time, but it's specifically as we get to the end of the church's age on the earth, how we need to see to it that the gospel gets around the world. Your little church, at the end of 1993, your little church wound up spending $83,000 on missions. This little place. And that's, to me, awesome. We had no plan on that. God just opened the doors and the opportunity came for us to affect China and Russia and Mexico. You may drop a nickel into the bag and praise the Lord for it. That nickel brought the gospel to somebody in the world. You, and I'm proud to tell you, it's you, are fulfilling verse 8. And that's awesome to me. But we are governed by the Holy Spirit, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him. The Shekinah glory of God out of their sight. I love this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, these are angels, stood by them in white apparel. And I love what they say. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same. You ought to underline that. There's people coming to your doorstep that they don't like that. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming back, and I hope before third service. He's coming back. This reference, for any of those who are eschatologists here, study of the end times prophetic scene, verse 11 is reference to the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming, where he'll physically touch down on the Mount of Olives again, where he took off from. But the disciples are standing there, and they're looking steadfast into heaven. The word in the Greek means their eyes were fixed on a hole. That's what the word means. Isn't that funny? Their eyes were fixed on a hole. It wasn't a hole down, it was a hole up. And they're going, oh my gosh, can you believe this? And their eyes were just, oh man. Hey, men of Galilee, what are you standing around gawking up into heaven for? Huh? Their eyes were fixed steadfast where he was taken up. They were totally captivated. What are you guys looking around for? This same Jesus. Listen, resurrected, not, what's the word? New Age. Reincarnated, not reincarnated. Not re-energized or revitalized or resuscitated, resurrected Christ. In fact, if we had the time, we'd get on over to Luke chapter 24, and they're all hanging around there, and they're all talking, and Jesus shows up, and they go, and he says, what are you guys freaking out about? You look at me like you're seeing a ghost. Handle me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. And they're all going, That's wow in Greek. And he said, and I love this. He said, you have anything to eat? Isn't that cool? Do you have anything to eat? And they hand him a honeycomb and fish and chips. And Jesus begins to eat. Why? Why did he do that? Because ghosts don't eat honeycomb and fish. Ghosts are demonic manifestations. They're unembodied spirits. Jesus is not some ghost. You could touch him. Talk about physics. You could touch him, and then he could step through this wall and walk away. And then you could run around the corner and get outside that door and run over there and grab him again. You could feel him. He could put his hand in the wall and pull his hand out. You could be holding his hand. He'd put his hand in the wall. Your hand would stay outside the wall. His hand would go into the wall. He'd pull his hand out. He'd grab your hand and pull it back. You couldn't go in there, but he could. Man, I think that's awesome. Because he's the master of physics. He's the great engineer. He's the resurrected man. And today, right now, just moments before the hour, earth time, there is a man seated at the right hand of God the Father that you can touch with your hands, who eats fish in honeycomb, who says, man, I'm hungry. At the right hand of God, there is a man, Christ Jesus, who's God-man. 100% God, 100% man. Don't ask me to explain it. The Bible teaches it. I just enjoy it. And he represents you and I before the throne of God. That's awesome. That is such good news. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? Because I want to go with them. Nope, boys, get back to Jerusalem. Just as you said, there's work to be done. And there's work for us to do. We need the dynamite power.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called The Acts of the Apostles, a study taken from the New Testament book that often goes by that title, and we're looking into the first five verses of chapter 1. Now, we've just gotten started in this series this very week, and so we encourage you to continue with Real Radio and follow along verse by verse all the way through this New Testament book. Of course, our prayer is that you truly benefit from these studies that we bring to you here on Real Radio. And in fact, we encourage you to get in touch with us. You've been thinking about it? Go ahead and do it. You can call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click on the word reaction, or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.